Amen. Have you prayed recently? Yeah. Most Christians, most people have prayed before. The million-dollar question is not, have you prayed? The question is, are your prayers being answered? Now, some are quick, some are longer. We understand that. Romans 10 tells us faith comes by hearing and hearing the word, and through the process of faith and patience, Hebrews 6 and Hebrews 11, we inherit the promises of God. So what God has available for us, it's a process of receiving it, although it's still available. But when we begin to look at our prayer life or the prayers we've prayed in the past, I don't ever want you to feel condemned. I want you to be aware. Condemnation will just keep you cemented in the path and the process you're doing, thinking it'll never be better. But God has made a way for all of us so we can learn. Aren't you glad? Are you open to learn? I know we encourage you, myself, all of us, no matter where you're at in life, always be open, love to learn, love, because increase of knowledge or revelation always positions you at the next level. Amen. A lot of us have been praying, when's my next season comes? Your next season doesn't come based on the calendar on your wall. Your next season comes by the next revelation from heaven. Can I get an amen? And so when you get hungry for the truth of God's word and say, Lord, I know you still have more for me. That's why you're praying. It's because you know that God has something that you don't have yet. Or somebody else has needs God to do something in their life. And when you back up and say, Lord, I need this area of my life. And if there's something in my life I'm not doing or doing wrong, open my eyes. Be like David who said, search me like a book. Flip through the pages. And if you see anything, because if I'm doing something, I can't speak for you, but for myself, if I'm doing something in the routine of life that is stopping the flow of God's best, I want it removed. Amen? I want it removed. If you're baking something and you're using the wrong ingredients, you say, why doesn't that cake taste good? Oh, it's bad. Why? I'm doing all the steps. Yeah, but it's bad. It might look like you're doing the right steps, but if you're missing some good ingredients, where's the sugar? Oh, I just substituted that with salt. Found the problem. Why? Because the ingredients make a difference, do they not? And so we've been talking about the power of prayer. James chapter 5 says, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. That's King James. Another translation would say better, that the heartfelt, determined prayer of a righteous person produces much change. Which means the Bible tells us if you're a child of God, and if you're a child of God, you are the righteousness of God. That if you're a child of God, when you pray, you can expect change. Find me somebody who complains a lot, I'll show you somebody who's not praying at all. Because prayer changes the circumstances. Prayer brings God's will into your life. Can I get an amen? Can I get a better amen? Oh, you sound good today. Prayer brings change. And if we understand that, when we run into a wall of impossibility or problems, we won't freak out and hide out like the soldiers did in David's day. No, we'll be like David who rises up and says, what is the reward for the person to take this giant on? It's not my giant, it's not my battle, but it's my God that he is attacking. It's my God that he is mocking. He has come and he has mocked the armies of the living God. That's what David told Goliath. Listen, God's going to put you in my hands today. Stay with me. God's going to put you in my hands today, and I'm going to cut your head off. Challenge everything I say with the word of God. Challenge it during the week. And I'm going to cut your head off because you have not mocked me. You have mocked the armies of the living God. See, when you begin to understand the power and purpose of prayer, you'll begin to get the desire and fervency within you. It's based on the alignment of the word of God. Because the devil's not trying to destroy you. He's trying to mock the word of God, which is eternal. He's trying to attack the will of God. Are you with me? And you can say, wait a minute. You might be knocking on the door of my house, but I know you don't have a covenant right. You have to go. Not because of, oh, I'm a good person or a bad person, but because the truth is, you are defying God's will. You are come to attack and be like David says, God, I love what you love, and I hate what you hate. God, your enemies will be my enemies. I'm telling you, you have a good friend when someone says, listen, your enemies are my enemies. They attack you, they attack me. And you can say, God, I love you. You're my father. I'm your child. I'm proud to be your child. And I want you to know if someone's attacking you, they're attacking me. That if they're attacking your word, I'm going to stand up and do something about it. I'm not going to be quiet and let the devil run over my world, run over my marriage, run over my finances, run over my health, run over my children, and sit back quietly. No, the devil's trying to attack the strength of God's word in your life. But what he didn't realize, what he meant for evil, God's going to turn it for good in Jesus' name. I said God's going to turn it for good in your life in Jesus' name. With the enemy meant to be a stumbling block, David said, let my feet be like hinds' feet, which was a deer's feet, which was an animal that was able to climb mountains and hills that were rocky and make everybody else slip and fall. But for the deer, for the hind, it allowed him to move forward. What am I telling you today by the Spirit of God? What would normally cause you in the past, cause those around you to slip and fall, starting today in the name of Jesus, it's going to be an opportunity for you to move forward. It will not slip you up anymore. It will not intimidate you anymore. It will not cause you to fall. No, you'll use it as an opportunity, saying that what the enemy meant for evil, God's going to use it for good. What the enemy used to intimidate the armies, God's going to use it as an opportunity to get me to the position of king. What the enemy used to try to take me out, God's going to use it for my advancement to fulfill his destiny. Come on, church. You're going to rise up and begin to see life differently because you are prepared. You are designed. You have the DNA of God, the seed of God, and that seed is to win. Because the Word of God tells us, whosoever is born of God overcomes this world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, even your faith, 1 John 5. Say, I'm a winner in Jesus. Amen. Well, grab your Bibles. Let's read out Ephesians 6 as we've been talking about the recipe for powerful prayers. Ephesians chapter 6, and we're going to read this together, NIV translation. If you don't have that particular translation, that's okay. You can look to the screen and we'll put it together. Verse 10, let's throw that up there if we can. Are you ready? One, two, up. Let's get the verse. All right, there we go. One, two, three, read. Finally. In addition. Amen. Give yourself a hand clap for doing an amazing job. Let's begin with prayer. Father, we thank you for the opportunity to come together to worship you, to experience you. Open our hearts, our minds, our understanding today. I pray for the anointing of truth and revelation to resound so richly in this house today. Your word tells us that we are to let the word of Christ dwell richly. So we invite your truth, your anointed word, to be rich in this house, rich in our hearts, rich in our homes. Let your word take priority over every circumstance as we see the assignment of heaven override the assignment of the earth, as we see the season of heaven bring your best into our life and override the season of the natural clock and calendar of our lives. We thank you for your best. We thank you for your anointing. And we speak your power into our lives today. And we give you praise. And everybody said, amen. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 14. Let me emphasize this one verse again. Stand firm then, the first part says. Stand firm with the belt of truth buckled around your waist with the breastplate of righteousness in place. I want to emphasize the righteousness. Verse 14 again. Stand firm then with the breastplate of righteousness in place. Stand firm then with the breastplate of righteousness in place. Stand firm then with the breastplate of righteousness in place. God wants you to stand When you're praying, he wants you to be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. He wants you to be bold and courageous, Joshua tells us in chapter 1. To stand firm with the breastplate of righteousness. I want to break that down a little bit for us. What is the breastplate? Where does that, that covers your what? Your heart. The Bible tells us out of the word of God in Proverbs to guard our heart. Guard it, Proverbs 4:23. Guard our heart, for out of it flows the issues of life. It's a key element. You just can't listen to everything. You just can't read everything. You just can't digest everything that comes in. We have to begin to understand the importance of what we listen to and what we watch and what we expose ourselves to surrounding us. Because most people think, oh, it's no big deal. It's not going to have an effect. Yeah, it does have an effect. Guard your heart. Those are doorways, entranceways into your heart. Guard your heart, for out of it flows the issues of life, the key elements of life, the desires of life, actually. That's why the Bible says, delight yourself in the Lord, and he'll give you the desires of your heart. That doesn't mean if you want or need a new car, he'll give you a new car. And God doesn't mind you having a new car. What it means is when you delight yourself and spend time with him, he will place in you his desires. Because the next verse says, commit your works to him, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. Bring what? The desires. Most people are struggling, like, why do I have these desires to do the wrong thing? My first question would be, what are you allowing in your heart? If you watch violence all the time, you're going to, over the process of time, when you watch violence and listen to violence and hear violence, you know what? Over the process of time, you will develop a desire to respond with violence and with anger. Check the desires, and you'll see what you're digesting. Not physically with food, but spiritually in your heart. Guard your heart. One of the things the devil tries to do in your prayer is he tries to get that position of righteousness to be out of place. What is righteousness, you might ask? Righteousness is like saying right standing with God. It's not being narcissistic. It's not being arrogant. Most people saying, you just think you're righteous. Yes, because the word of God tells you that you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. It's right standing with God. Right, the right position, the right standing, right position. You can say it this way. If you went to call somebody and you got pulled out your phone and instead of speed dial, you programmed it and you had their name in it, but you had missed a digit. You go to hit speed dial and you call it and the hello, and the other person says, who is this? Oh, this is, say your name and they're like, isn't this? No, you got the wrong number. You're like, but I want to talk to John. There's no John here. Well, it says John on my phone. I want to talk to John. Put John on the phone. John's not here. Why? Because you've got the wrong number. You're not connection. Right. Connection. Yes. Right standing. Right connection. Do you see the story? And so if we have the wrong recipe when we answer or begin to pray, we can say what sounds to be the right prayer. But if we're not making a connection, we're talking into a dead phone. And if God heard it and began to answer, there's no way for us to receive it. We're in the wrong position. Righteousness is the right connection or right position, right standing with God. Amen. Say, I'm the righteousness of God. Come on, say, I'm the righteousness of God. That's 2 Corinthians 5:21. You are right standing. You are the heir of God, Romans 8:17. Joint heir with Christ. You said, but Pastor, I've been living in sin. Well, why would you do that? Repent, 1 John 1:9. The Bible tells us, if you sin, repent, and he is faithful. Have you heard this verse? He is faithful and just to what? Two things. Forgive you. Notice this. And cleanse you. He'll not only forgive you, but he cleanses you. He not only forgives you, oh, I need God to forgive me. You not only need God to forgive you, you need God to cleanse you. Cleanse me from the sin. Cleanse you from, the Bible says, from all unrighteousness. Sin moves you out of position. Sin moves you out of position. And when you repent, God forgives you. And he cleanses you with the blood of Jesus and brings you back into a place of right standing. You say, why do I need that? Because this is a key for you to not only live victoriously, this is a key ingredient for you to receive the answer to your prayers. The devil knows it. That's why he throws so much at you. The devil knows it. That's why he attacks this area of your heart so often. The devil knows it, because if he can get past that breastplate, if he can get to the heart, he can change your heart. He can change your desires. He can attack you and cause you to miss out on what God has for you. And you can pray with volume, or you can pray with softness. You can pray with tears, or you can pray unemotional. You can pray a lot, or you can pray a little. But at the end of the day, the key is, are your prayers being answered? Are your prayers being answered? Make sure that the breastplate of righteousness is in place. I'm going to give you two areas where the devil will attack your righteousness to get you out of place so you miss it. So you miss it. The number one is when you're praying, the enemy will try to get you to earn your answer. Have you ever go to pray and the devil tells you you don't deserve it? And you just feel this, you went from excitement to your confidence dropping. Oh, that's right, I really don't deserve it. Or you're believing for a good, maybe you got a meeting, you're believing for a raise, and you're like, the devil say, oh, you don't deserve that. You're believing for a healing, oh, you don't deserve that. The devil will try to get you to qualify. I've shared this story at the beginning of this season, share it again. If two people were both diagnosed, God forbid, with the same life-threatening disease, and they both come to the same Sunday service for prayer, and they both come down to have hands laid on them for prayer, and one just got saved a few days ago, and the other had served the Lord their whole life, grew up in church, never lived in the world, never did sin, worked in church, volunteered, Sunday school teacher for 30 years, a major pillar in the church, been saved her whole life. But the other one, she'd been bad life, drugs, prostitution, but just got saved just a few days ago. And they both come for prayer for the same disease that they were both diagnosed with. And the minister comes down and prays for both of them. And immediately, the one who just got saved walked away healed by the power of God. And the one who had been a Sunday school teacher for 30 years walked away still in pain. If your mind tells you that's not fair, then let me help you. Maybe the enemy's been robbing you of the answer to your prayer. You say, but Pastor, that's not fair. Because that person's been saved for a long time. They've served God. They deserve to be healed more than the person who just got saved. And that's the problem. Because neither one of them deserve to be healed. See, righteousness understands it's not based on you. For you're saved by grace through faith. What is grace? Unmerited favor. You're saved by grace through faith, not of works. It doesn't mean there's nothing for you to do, because James tells us later, faith without works is dead. That's an expression of what God tells you to do, but not the process of earning what God's called you to be. And so faith without works is dead. But he said, you are saved by grace through faith, not of works, lest any man should boast. It is a gift of God. Well, Pastor, that's salvation. I know, but that word salvation in the Greek is soteria. It includes in that covenant healing. So if you ever go to pray for somebody to be healed, or if you're ever praying for healing in your body and the devil says, well, what have you done for God lately? The trick is not to convince you to earn it. The trick is to get you to look at yourself as if a way you could earn it. And when you do that, you move away from the position of righteousness to receive it, because it's by grace through faith. It's the enemy's tactic to get us to earn, to barter. God, if you answer this prayer, I'll be so thankful. I'll do X, Y, and Z. I'll be a good person. I'll serve you for the rest of my life. Lord, if you help me out in this, I'll owe you. Wait a minute. This is not a barter. Right. This is not a qualifier. That's hard for us to accept, because some of us feel that we've earned something. God, you owe me. I've earned it. Or I've earned it. Have you ever heard somebody, God owes it to me because I really, really need it. A common thought from some people who steal is, why'd you steal that? Because I really, really wanted it. And I really, really need it. Well, what's that got to do with you taking from somebody else? When you approach God, you're not approaching him as a servant. You're not approaching him as somebody who earned it. You're not walking up and says, here's my hours, my wage. You owe me healing. You could never pay for salvation. You could never qualify for healing. Are you listening? All the blessings of God, all the promises of God are yea and amen. They are fulfilled within Christ based on the covenant of Jesus on the cross of Calvary. You cannot, will not ever get to a place where you can tell God, you owe me. But what you can come and say, it's not about me. It's all about Jesus. And I receive it by faith. The Jews struggled. This is the crossroad for the Orthodox Jew. The Orthodox Jew. Not the Messianic Jew, but the Orthodox Jew. Because they are trying, according to Romans 10. They are trying to qualify. They are trying to earn their righteousness. Yet the Gentiles, and the reason they couldn't is God wanted them to know, you could never be good enough to earn salvation. And the law was, Paul goes into a dissertation that the law was like a tutor to teach them that there is no righteousness within themselves, their own ability. Isaiah says that our righteousness is as filthy rags. Paul says, all that I achieved in my own ability, I considered it. I consider it. Dung is one translation. There's other translations. I considered it worthless so that I may obtain the righteousness which is by faith. Yes. The devil's tactic is to get you to look at what you've done in your past that is so, oh, look, you know what, God should answer that prayer because you read the Bible 4 chapters yesterday. Oh, God has to answer my prayer because I fasted for 3 hours yesterday. So now God is responding and has to jump through a hoop that you created based on your ability. Should you fast? Yes. Should you read the Bible? Yes. Should you pray? Yes. Should you obey God? Yes. But it's not as a way to earn what belongs to you through the covenant. You don't approach God and say, you owe me. There's a parable in Matthew 22. And in the story, Jesus is telling this parable or story about a king who was ready to have a big party for the wedding of his son. And he sent out everybody of his servants to invite people. And they came back and said, oh, they're all too busy. Well, that offended anybody. He said, okay, then we'll leave them alone. It's all symbolism, referring to the big picture of how God is working with humanity and with the Jews. And he said, okay, we're going to set them aside. Go out into the highways and byways, he told the servants. And find people that don't deserve it. Come on, somebody. Find the unworthy people. Find the people out in the street and invite them. Compel them to come into the party. And they did. And they came to the king and said, the house is full. We're ready for the party. And the Bible, as we're going to pick up in this one verse, in verse 11, chapter 22 of Matthew, it says, and when the king came in to see the guest, he saw there was a man which had not on a wedding garment. And he said unto him, friend, how did you come in here not having on a wedding garment? And he was speechless. Then he said to the king said to the servants, bind him hand and foot and take him away and cast him in outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth, for many are called, but few are chosen. Well, my first response is, wow, that's kind of intense. You have a big banquet, a big party for a wedding. All the guests on the guest list won't make it, can't make it, don't want to come. So you invite and send out to bring anybody and everybody, no one that's worthy. And you bring them to the table and you walk out to greet people and somebody doesn't have a wedding garment on. Someone doesn't have the right clothes for the party. And you look at them and say, how in the world did you even get in here? not only do you kick them out, you tell the servants, take them, bind them up, and throw them into outer darkness. Woo! Well, that's the word we get around. Be careful if you go to that party. It almost sounds too extreme. But what we miss in the understanding is all these people had come in because of invitation, not because they were qualified. They were invited. Stay with me. And when a king would throw a party, it's not like the parties we have. Those parties don't go for just a few hours. They go for days, weeks, some for months. And it was the responsibility, listen to this, it was the responsibility of the one who was hosting the party, in this case the king, to not only provide the space, to not only provide the food, but to provide all your clothes. And so when you would go to the party, you'd walk in and they would say, oh, okay, come on in, here's your clothes, put those in and enjoy the party. So when the person walked in and decided, I'm not going to wear the clothes provided by the king, I'm going to wear the clothes I provided for myself. This is all about righteousness. Because, Isaiah says that our own righteousness is as filthy rags. So what was happening? He came to the party provided by the king, but didn't want to wear the clothes the king provided. See, those clothes the king provided is righteousness. You're going to get to heaven because of the righteousness, not because you achieved it, but you received it from the king. Amen. Do you see it? Who's the king? Who's the King of kings and Lord of lords? What did Jesus do on the cross of Calvary? He became sin so that you wouldn't have to have and live in sin. You are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. So he puts on you the robe of righteousness as his son and daughter. I want you to hear this, because the world will tell you you don't deserve it. The world, the church, religious world will keep you in the mindset of, I'm just a sinner saved by grace. You're no longer a sinner. Behold, all things that's old stuff. Behold, all things are new. You are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And what has hindered people's prayer is the mindset that they're approaching God, not out of boldness, but out of fear, not reverence and trembling, but out of fear, because they looked at themselves and say, oh, I'm just a sinner. Or they begin to look at themselves and say, oh, look what God owes me. I got it. I've done it. I have something better than what the king provided. You can never be righteous enough. And that's not a bad thing. You have to step back, and it doesn't mean you can live any way you want and live in sin. Romans 6, very specific. Do we allow the freedom from sin, allow us to go back and live in sin? He said, God forbid. But it's the righteousness that you approach God, and when the devil begins to tell you, when you pray, oh, do you deserve this? You begin to say, wait a minute, I'm not working on my righteousness. I'm working on his righteousness. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You are saved by grace through faith. Philippians 3, verse 9 says, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. That was Paul. All my achievements in the past, I'm throwing those away, because it's not that we don't recognize them. It's not that we don't appreciate them. It's not that we don't set goals and try to achieve great things, but we come to the reality when I'm approaching God, I can't use what I've done in myself in the past. I have to back up and say, wait a minute, I'm approaching God out of covenant, and I am the righteousness by faith. Amen. Listen to me, child of God, not by feeling, but by faith. Well, I don't feel very spiritual. That's feeling. I don't feel even saved today. And then you'll have days like that. But you have to get righteous mentality where you begin to think, wait a minute, it's not what I feel, hear, or see. I am the righteousness of God because the word says it. Amen. Amen. And again, if you sin, 1 John 1, 9, repent, and he's faithful and just to forgive you. The second side of this, again, it's two sides. So righteousness is being in right standing with God. One side of this pendulum is when people think, oh, I got it down. That arrogance of being, it's about me. I'm so good. God owes it to me. Oh, if anybody, I've heard people say, I'm so spiritual. If God would be doing that, if anybody was going to get it, I'd get it first. Okay. If anybody was going to receive that miracle, if anybody was going to have that experience, I would receive it first. I'm so spiritual. That's dangerous. Why? Because they're looking to themselves for their righteousness. The flip side is the other extreme. When we begin to say, oh, I'm just a sinner saved by grace. I don't deserve anything. I'm just a horrible person. Religion will do that to us. It'll beat us down. Let me show you. When you begin to beg or barter with God in the perspective of your past failures, your position has become condemnation. The problem is pride. Oh, no, Pastor, you made a mistake there. Pride is when you're just arrogant. You know it's all about you. And God owes you because you're taking the position of, look what I've done. Are you listening to me? Both sides are pride. Because the focus is on you and not on him. Didn't the Bible say it's no longer I that lives, but Christ who lives in me, and the life I live by faith in the Son of God who loves me, right? What are we doing? We're getting your focus off you. When you go to pray, you're not supposed to say, Father, I need a healing, you know, this bad report. And so, Lord, I just want to thank you. You're going to heal me because I've been such a good Christian. I've gone to church every week. And, Lord, I've done these wonderful things for you. That was the one prodigal son, not just the one who left, but the one who stayed. I've done all these things for you. You owe me. That's the mindset of a servant. That's a job. That's a bartering system. No. But when you understand grace through faith, Father, I thank you. The healing belongs to me. Not because of me, but all because of Jesus. 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 I love this, the story of the woman with the issue of blood. It's not even in my notes, but it just came to me, so I'm going to say it anyway. The woman with the issue of blood, and she heard about Jesus, that he was healing people. Now, what we have to understand is that in the Old Testament, there's so many prophecies talking about the Messiah. There's so many prophecies talking about the Messiah. And when Jesus started fulfilling it, that was the buzz that was spreading. So what did she hear? Not only he was a healer, but she knew the Old Testament prophecy that when the Messiah would come, that there would be healing in his wings. Now that wasn't just a metaphor of wings. Because in those days, what they would wear, what Jesus was wearing, he had this shawl and he'd pull it over his head. That's the reference when he said, into your prayer closet. You would put it over your head, and so you wouldn't be distracted by the surrounding, and you could be focused and centralized on your conversation and communion with God. And that shawl was called righteousness. And so you pull over righteousness, isolating you from the distractions of what's happening around you, and you begin to focus and centralize your attention on the one you're talking to, your Heavenly Father, and your position. When he looks down, he doesn't see sin, he sees righteousness. See that? From the top view, you don't see the person. You just see the canopy of righteousness. And on the end of those, that righteous shawl was these strings, and there were knots, and they all represented the law, the commandments. And that was called, it had a Hebrew word, but literally you could say it this way. It was the commandments of God. And so under the covenant of the Old Testament, which Jesus had to operate in, most people think the New Testament started when he was born. It didn't start until he was resurrected. So under the Old Covenant, because he said, I didn't come to destroy the law, but to fulfill the law. And so under the Old Covenant, Deuteronomy 28, are you with me? Under the Old Covenant, if you obey God, all these benefits. If you hear my word, obey. Here's the benefits. If you don't, you're under the curse. Disobedience brought a curse, and it was their choice. Choose this day whom you'll serve. And if you don't serve me, here's the curse. But Galatians tells us what Jesus did on the cross. He became a curse for us, for cursed is everyone who hangs on the tree, that you might receive the blessing of the covenant of Abraham. What does it mean? That you might be the righteousness of God. So on the ends of that string were the knots, which represent the obedience to the law. And she said within herself, if I can but touch the hem, the strings that were the knots, that was called the hem, if I can touch the hem of his garment, if I can touch the commandments of his obedience that brought the righteousness. What was she saying? I can't receive healing by my obedience because I'm not righteous enough. But I know someone who's coming down the road who is righteous. And because he's righteous, his healing belongs to him. And if I can touch what he's done, if I can get a hold of what he's done, that's what it's about. Not you being good enough to earn salvation, but you begin to understand by grace through faith, you can connect to the obedience of Jesus and begin to experience the benefits of what he's done. Come on, give him praise. And the devil will throw judgment at you. The devil will try to condemn you. The devil will begin to speak words in your thoughts, in your mind, or through other people that will try to get you out of kilter with being righteous with God. He'll try to throw you off and say, oh, yeah, you're right. I had bad life. I did some bad stuff in the past. And I know God forgives me, but he'll never probably answer my prayers because, you know, I'm kind of like a second-rate citizen in the kingdom of heaven. I don't deserve it. I'm just tolerated. I'm not celebrated. And I'm telling you that if you're a child of God, you are equal with everybody else. The first will be last, and the last will be first. And all that is the Father's belongs to you. Isaiah 54:17 says, no weapon that is formed against you shall prosper. Have you heard this? Now look at it from the perspective of what the enemy has tried to do against you in condemnation when you pray. No weapon formed against you will prosper. Now notice, and every tongue, that's words, that rise up against you in judgment, that's condemnation. See, judgment, what we misunderstand is judgment is just not saying something about somebody. It carries with it the finality of a judge. That's why the Bible says judge nothing before its time. Because when you judge somebody and you say they're evil, what you're doing is not only identifying them, but you're saying that they can and will never change. They cannot change. They will not change. That's how they're going to end. Right. Basically, you're saying not even God could help them. Right. Notice. So any word or tongue that shall rise against you in judgment, you shall condemn. For this is the heritage or the inheritance of the servants of the Lord. And notice this next key verse. And their what? And their what? Their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. What are you saying? Their righteousness is not over their past. It's not over their past successes. Their righteousness is not over their past failures. Their righteousness comes from me. Therefore, they have the ability when the enemy begins to accuse them, true or false, past or whatever, they can rise up and condemn it and say, nope, not here, not me, not anymore. I used to be that way. That's no longer me. That's no longer me. I am the righteousness of God in Christ. And they boldly can stand in the position of confidence when they pray because they're not saying, God, you owe me or I'll never get it because I'm too bad, but if you want to throw some sprinkled dust of mercy on me, I'll take what I can get. No, they can boldly approach the throne knowing that it's not about them, it's all about Jesus, and they are accepting what they're praying for by grace through faith. And the devil will tell them it'll never happen. That's judgment, that's finality. And your focus is not on you, it's not on probability, it's on the promise. And if you're going to operate by faith, like Romans 4 says, Abraham was fully persuaded that the God who made the promise was well able, not barely making it, not have, do you know what? God doesn't have to break a sweat when he's doing a miracle for you. Hallelujah. He's well able. He doesn't get out of breath when he's working for you. He's well able when he's doing something in your life. He's not going, whoo, yeah, oh man. Gabriel, I need a better footstool because this is a hard day today. I had to answer so many prayers. It's all easy with Jesus. Yeah. Say, it's all easy with Jesus. Romans 8:1, there is therefore now no condemnation unto them which are in Christ who walk not after the flesh but after the Spirit. Yeah. When the devil tries to condemn you, say, nope, not here. I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I'm the righteousness of God. But I don't feel it. Who cares if you feel it? Didn't say feel strong. It said be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. You can condemn what the devil's throwing at you and say, sorry, devil, I'm not going to accept that. I'm not signing for that. I'm not embracing that. I'm not allowing that to pollute my prayer. I'm going to stand back and say, Father, I thank you that it's all about Jesus. And by grace through faith, I receive what belongs to me. And according to your word, healing or peace or joy or blood, whatever it is, belongs. And I want to thank you. I receive it by faith. I bind the enemy's tactic to keep me from it or hold it back. I command and let it go and loose it. And I thank you, Father God, I receive it with confidence that I know at the end of the day, you've called me to the promised land. Hallelujah. And it's not about me. It's all about him. It's all about him. And I receive it by faith. I get that breastplate of righteousness back in place. Back in place. It's all about Jesus. In closing, strengthen your prayer. Add and make sure you pray from a position of righteousness. For you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. If you received anything from that today, give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Come on, you can do better now. Hallelujah. Oh, come on, it's not about you anymore. When the devil starts condemning you, just laugh at him. It's not about you anymore. He done messed up. It's not about you anymore. It's all yours because of Jesus. It's all yours because of Jesus. It's all yours because of Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Peace in your home because of Jesus. Healing today because of Jesus. Blessings because of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Just stay in there for a minute. Someone's getting blessed right now. Someone's getting ministered to. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. It's all about Jesus. It's all about Jesus. Don't let the devil get you looking at yourself. It's not about your successes or your failures. It's all about the Word of God. It's all about Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Father, we thank you. We thank you. We are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. We thank you for the blood of Jesus. We thank you for boldness that we have, that we can boldly enter your throne room because of the blood of Jesus. We thank you we can call you Abba Father because of the blood of Jesus. We thank you, Father, in the covenant, in the covenant, in the covenant. It's all what you did, Lord Jesus, what you did for us, not what we can do for ourselves. We receive it by grace through faith, and we boldly decree by confidence that we are the healed of the Lord, that we are the blessed of the Lord, that we are in peace. We live with joy, strength, and peace. Hallelujah. We thank you, Father God, that the promises of God are ours today. All of the promises of God are yea and amen through you. All the promises of God belong to us. We boldly receive them today. And I thank you that we'll just not receive them, but we'll see them. We'll see them manifest. We'll see them manifest. Speed up the process in their life, Father God. Your word says in the last days you'll begin to do a quick work. Speed up that process right now. Father God, I thank you. The enemy's trying to tell somebody when they pray that it's not enough time. Speed up the process. Show your glory. Glorify your name in their life. Glorify their name in their life. I thank you that you're not limited to the time frame. You're not limited. You can do a quick work in their life. I don't know who that's for, but the devil's been taunting somebody. They've been praying, and the devil's been telling you, it's too late. You don't have enough time. I'm telling you, any time's enough time for God. He's not limited to that mindset. Hallelujah. 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 Are you listening to me? When Peter said, hey, they're wanting taxes, and you know, Judas is not with us, just you and me, and we don't carry the money bag. So what do you want us to do? Jesus said, Do we owe this? And he said, yes, Lord. And he said, take a hook and drop it in the water. And the first fish that comes with it, when the first fish you catch, take it, open its mouth, and you'll see inside its mouth a coin. And take that coin and pay for the taxes. What did Jesus say? Well, I want you to go do something. But before there was the need, the Father already started the provision. Listen to me. Before some of you, whoever I'm talking to, the devil's been telling you that there's not enough time. The moment you prayed, you have to understand that the God that you prayed to, your Heavenly Father, the Creator of all things, He sees the end as well as the beginning. And when you begin to pray, He already knew you were going to pray. And He backed up and started the miracle before you asked for the prayer. When you begin to clock out how much time it would take for someone to drop a coin and the fish to eat the coin and the fish to swim to the spot where the hook would be, the miracle began before the problem revealed. The miracle began before the promise was activated. The miracle already started. And I'm telling you, whoever I'm talking to, if the devil's telling you there's not enough time, it's too short a time, what you must know, that you serve a God of all sufficiency. And He says, I've already started the miracle. If you can begin to pray and believe that you receive, Mark 11:24, believe that you receive it, you can have it, because I'm not limited by time, says the Lord. Come on, if that's for you, give him a hand clap of praise. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. There's just not enough time. That's a lie of the devil. Sometimes it's okay to laugh at the devil. Every time's really okay to laugh at the devil. Even if you don't feel like laughing. Even if you don't feel any laughter. Just stir it up and just say, ha, 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 ha. Devil say, what are you laughing at? Ha, 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 ha. What are you laughing at? You don't have enough time to get the healing. Ha, 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 ha. What are you laughing? I'm laughing at you, devil. Don't you know that Jesus already took my infirmity and my sickness? It's already done. It's already done. It's already done. It's already, when the devil says he can and won't, say it's already done. It's all in a covenant. We're children of the covenant. We're children of God. And everything that is life and godliness, He has already provided. It's already done. Receive it today in the name of Jesus. Receive it today in the name of Jesus. Receive it today in the name of Jesus. Don't look at me. Receive it today in the name of Jesus. It's not about me. Receive it today in the name of Jesus. Receive it today in the name of Jesus. Receive it today. Receive it today. Receive it today. Receive it today in the name of Jesus. Receive it today in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Receive it today in the name of Jesus. It's already done. He is more than enough. Come on, give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Hallelujah. 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 Quit looking in the spiritual mirror to see your reflection. Turn that mirror toward heaven. Oh, that's what I'm supposed to look like. Woo. Because you are the image of Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Go ahead, be seated for a few seconds. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father God. If you're here today and do not have a real relationship with Jesus Christ, I'm not talking about church. I'm not talking about denomination. I'm not talking about rules. I'm talking about not legalism. I'm talking about, is Jesus Christ real to you today? In a way that you know, the way you process and the way you experience, the way that you know on the inside of who you are, that Jesus, number one, is real. And number two, that He's your Lord and Savior. I don't have time to play a game. And hopefully you don't either. Don't play the game what a lot of church people do. Put on the church-looking clothes, talk the church language, go in and act a certain way, leave church and go back to the... And they have the appearance... But they're empty. They're empty. They're hollow, shallow on the inside. No, you can have a real understanding, a real relationship with Jesus Christ. He is real. He is real. Amen. Revelation 3 says, I stand at the door and I knock. If you open up, I'll come in. He is real. Romans 10 talks about, with the heart man believes unto salvation, with unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Romans 10. Those who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Salvation is available today. But there will be a day, my friend. There will be a day where all that stops. There is a time frame where times ran out and people might cry for it, but it'll be too late. Matthew 25, the 10 virgins. Don't miss your opportunity. I'll wait till next month, next week, some other time. You might not have another time. Today is the day. With every head bowed and every eye closed, if you're here today and say, Pastor, I don't have a real relationship with Jesus Christ, but I want to. I want to have a real relationship with Jesus. No one looking around, no one moving out of respect for what we're doing. But Pastor, I want that real relationship. Or maybe you hear and say, you know, Pastor, I used to have a relationship with the Lord, but for whatever reason, I've allowed stuff to come between me and God, and I know my heart's not right. If either one of those are you, this is your moment. This is your moment to accept Jesus and let him wash you like we talked about in 1 John 1:9 and forgive you and cleanse you, bring you back in. If that's you and the Holy Spirit's dealing with your heart today, let this prayer come from your heart as I lead you. Say with me, Heavenly Father, I turn to you today. I repent of all my sins. I believe in my heart and I confess with my mouth that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that he came to this earth in the flesh and died on a cross for my sins, was buried for me, and on the third day rose again for me. Because I believe that, I ask you, Jesus, to come into my heart, be my Lord and Savior, wash me in your blood, forgive me and cleanse me. Thank you for saving me. Amen. Amen. Come on, give the Lord a hand clap of praise. If you're here today, you say, Pastor, that was for me. I prayed that prayer with you. That prayer is for me. Just so I know who I'm talking to. Just so I know who I was praying with. You know, the Bible says if one person gets saved, the heaven celebrates. I think there's a lot more than one. How about you? So if you prayed that prayer, just so I know who I was praying with, I'll cross throughout the auditorium over to my right in this area. If that's you, just lift your hand and wave it to me so I know who I was praying with. Anybody over here in the right, the center? Who did I pray? Thank you, sir. Thank you, sir. God bless you. Anybody else? Thank you. 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Anybody else? 9, 10. God bless you. Anybody else? Anybody else? You can put your hand down. Anybody else? 11 in the very back left. God bless you. Anybody else? Anybody else? Amen. Come on, give them a big hand clap. Welcome to the family of God. Welcome to the family of God. Before we dismiss, we'll have, after the service, prayer partners down here. If you need one-on-one prayer, we're here for you. We're here for you. Not only do we have prayer partners, we have the food pantry going to be open, the clothing store department. I want to encourage you to take advantage of those for your benefit, but also the benefit of other people. We want you to, Genesis 12:2, we want you to be blessed, but be a blessing. Part of that being a blessing is not only sharing, part of that blessing is inviting. I want to encourage you, keep inviting people. Tag them with the wristbands as the Holy Spirit leads you. Invite, bring people to the house of God so that we can continue to encourage and preach the gospel and message of the Word of God. Amen? Amen. 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 All right. In closing, let me speak over your life out of Numbers chapter 6. God told Moses, have Aaron the high priest say this blessing over the people, and I will do it. So let me speak this blessing. You can lift your hands if you want to receive it. May the Lord bless you and protect you today. May the Lord smile on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord show you his favor and give you his peace in Jesus' mighty name. And everyone shouted, amen. God bless you. We love you. Have a great week. You're dismissed in Jesus' name.